Due to certain topics covered in this episode, I wanted to put a trigger warning here. Suicide is discussed. If you or someone you know struggles with suicidal thoughts and behavior, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Be kind to yourself. You're not alone. Thank you for listening.
It's recording. Hello.
Hello.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Mocktails and the Mind, a podcast where we keep the conversation on mental health going by bringing awareness, educating, providing resources, and sharing experiences, all while sipping on delicious alcohol-free beverages. We drink non-alcoholic beverages to support those who are living a sober lifestyle and or are on medications. I am your host, Amber Wilkerson. I am a writer, University of Arizona graduate student, an amateur singer, lover of cheese and pop music, and I also have OCD and depression. Joining me today is a very wonderful human being, my mom, Maria Wilkerson. Maria is a mother of five and has worked in law enforcement and studied biblical studies. Hello, Mom.
Hi, sweetie.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So, I've been looking forward to this episode. I've been telling people, like, I'm going to have my mom on the show. So, I'm very excited to have you on.
Me too.
So, today's mocktail of choice is a cranberry citrus mocktail. And the topic we're going to be talking about is being the parent of someone with a mental disorder. So, to talk about the mocktail, so all the ingredients used to make the mocktail today are either diet or low sugar ingredients, all to make the drink less sweet to support my mom here, who has diabetes. So, yeah, how do you feel about the drink? Does it taste good? Does it taste weird?
Yes, it was very good. It doesn't taste sugary. It tastes like the drinks I have and can have. A lot. Then the citrus, I liked it.
Yay, I'm glad. So, alrighty. So, before we get into the topic, first up is icebreaker time. We are going to do a quick game of something I like to call two truths and a lie. I'm not the only one who likes to call it that. A lot of other people do too. So, it's two truths and a lie. So, have you ever played, Mom?
No.
Okay. So, basically, two truths and a lie is where we take turns saying two things that are the truth and one thing that is a lie, and the other person has to guess what the lie is.
Okay.
So, do you want me to go first? Kind of like, okay. Okay. I have really bad arachnophobia. I got my ears pierced after watching a Mycene movie. And I was a big fan of Chris Brown growing up.
The lie is the Chris Brown.
Yes.
Okay.
I couldn't stand him and I still can't. Rightfully so. I think I have that right now. Now that due to current events, I think I just knew back then that something was wrong with this one. That he was a troublesome character. But I do feel for him though, because he does have a mental health condition. So there is that. So, but yeah. So good job. You won. Look at you. On it. Okay, so it's your turn.
I have to give you two truths and a lie.
And if you need a moment to think about it, we can take that moment.
Okay. I'm almost done reading all the books that I've bought. I plan on finishing what I started today. And the third one, I've dropped 3 sizes.
The lie is that you've almost finished all the books that you own.
Yes.
I know that very well. You have too many books to be almost done with all of them. Yeah. So there's no way. Okay. Yay. So we're both winners. The ice is broken. Well, I think the ice isn't broken for years because you're my mother.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, and I do consider you one of my best friends. So,
thank you. Same here.
Let's get in on today's topic, shall we?
Yes.
Parenting someone with a mental health condition. But before we start, I want to give some information. According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, having a child with a mental health condition can be a challenge, but there are ways to help make things easier. Each year, 1 in 5 kids aged 13 through 18 experiences a mental health condition. This means many parents have faced similar challenges and experiences as you. I think this is spot on because I didn't start seeing symptoms of my mental health condition until I was like 14. And then it didn't really hit me until I was like 17. So I can attest to the whole between the ages 13 through 18 experience. But yeah, so let's get in on the topic. So, mother.
Yes.
Do you identify as someone with a mental health condition?
No.
Okay. What's your experience with mental health?
Aside from me having mild depression in the past, I just recently, years later, realized that my mother suffered from mental illness while raising me. I have 2 relatives who returned from serving in the military with PTSD. I have a sister who suffers from mental illness. And my 2 daughters have anxiety. And my oldest daughter has PTSD. And as a former correctional officer in California, I supervised people with mental illness.
So you are very familiar with this topic.
Yes.
I knew that, and that's why I really wanted to have this conversation with you, not just because you're a parent of someone with a mental health condition, but just you are very, it's something you're familiar with. So you and your knowledge, I wanted to pick at your brain. So how do you balance dealing with your mental health and my mental health? Because it can be stressful, I'm assuming. I'm not in your shoes, but I'm assuming that it's stressful being the parent of someone with a mental health condition. Not that I'm saying you're saying it's a burden or anything, but I know that it's been hard.
Do you mean more like my initial reaction or today, how do I deal with it, or a mixture of both?
Let's start off with your initial reaction.
Oh, gosh. My initial reaction was I was shocked. I was hurt. I was hurt for my daughters. I hurt for them. I was worried. I worried about, will my daughter be able to live a self-sufficient, productive life? Will my daughter be happy and loved by a supportive partner? And I was worried because life has its own challenges alone.
This is true.
My natural mother's instinct, my intuition, though, was to handle this the only way I knew, from a mother's place, with love, communication, continued prayer, more checking in this time, realizing that you made it this far without me knowing, and I needed to continue to give you that space so that you can continue to be self-sufficient. I make sure that we talk regularly now and check in more consistently now. I do more visual checks than verbal. I do not micromanage anymore because I understand that even anything can seem like micromanaging to someone with an anxiety. And I trust the ability that you already have, that you've shown in managing this. It helps that you are open with me too. It saves us a lot of time trying to figure things out. As a parent, I rely on my countless years of loving and guidance to now be a part of what you use in managing this.
What? Because when I told you that I had, the way that I felt, because I wasn't sure what it was at first, I remember you saying that you and Dad had no idea because I was doing such a good job at hiding it. So knowing that now and knowing some of the like repetitive stuff that I've done because of my disorder, what are some signs that you saw?
After I knew or before? I didn't see any signs. That's why it was so shocking. And that's why I felt so bad, because it went on as long as it did and I didn't see any signs. And we were together a lot in the house. So it made me think you must have really tried to manage this on your own. And it made me realize that you may have felt embarrassed, inadequate, or thought you could handle it, or not aware of it fully. All these things played into how I didn't know so long, and you were still functioning and doing well and moving forward. You were still smiling, being productive. So I had no idea until you told me.
So, and I had told you that it's not your fault. I know yes. that you had trouble grasping onto that, but I told you it's not your fault. That I was hiding it. It was me. I didn't feel ready to talk about it. I thought everything was okay. So, but now, do you know what the signs, like, what are some of the signs that, I know you know what the signs are, but what are some of the signs that you see now?
Yes, I see the signs now, because now that you've opened up, you're comfortable now with sharing with me. The cat's out of the bag. We talk about the elephant in the room. So now you're sharing with me. Mm-hmm. So now we have moved forward with coping and managing. And, yes, I see the signs now, because you're not trying to manage them on your own anymore and hide them. Mm-hmm. So I do see the signs. I can see it in your eyes.
Okay.
More than anything. Or I can see it in your body movement. If you stop doing something right away and move to something else or leave the room.
Yeah. I remember there was a time, like, when I first started, like, sharing with you what my compulsions and my obsessions were. It was a nice time, because it was when we were alone in the house. So it was just you and me. We had, like, this little, like, girls' vacation type thing going on.
Yeah.
And I was able, I was also in a really low place at the time. It was a bittersweet time, because yeah. I was at the brink of my recovery, and then also I was with you, which was the sweet part. So it was very... I was finally opening up to you about what those things were that were bugging me. And it felt nice to finally talk about it. It was very therapeutic, very much a release. And you handled it very well. You were very receptive. And you weren't judgmental. You listened. And you asked me because you genuinely wanted to know so you could understand. And I really appreciated that.
Thank you.
You made it a very comfortable place for me to talk. I've said this before, that you are my safe space. So, like, you were very much that, especially during that time.
Thank you.
So, I thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
And so, I lost track now, being all mushy. I lost track of, like, the next thing I was gonna say. So, back to, like, with your mental health and, like, balancing mine at the same time, because... Were there times where you were dealing with your depression and also trying to be there for me during my depression? Were there times?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But I'm the kind of person where I have to figure this out and learn more about it and be educated and do better. And so it made me get more involved with my own self-care. And I realized how important self-care was to me on a daily basis, but now really in order to handle this situation, because I'm one of your main go-tos. And if I can't take care of me and make sure I'm managing my life, then I'm of no use to you, and I don't need you worrying about me.
That's so hard.
Yes.
I feel bad, because yes. you really had to, like, put things aside for me.
Well, it helps that you're number four. You're not number one.
Yeah.
It helps that I've been a parent for a while before you came. So that helps. Wanting to, being a parent, naturally, though, your instinct is to care and not judge. Your natural instincts come into play, and your compassion and your concern and your need to find a solution and to manage this better and to be there. And so all of that comes into play naturally.
You do a wonderful job at it.
Thank you.
You're very strong.
Thank you.
I feel like this is just turning into a complimenting you fest. You deserve it. But yeah, like, I can't imagine being, like, in your footsteps. Because when me with my depression, I completely shut down. And everything is, just, I completely just shut off. So I really admire you for being able, you're very high functioning. And I think that's...
Thank you.
You know.
I knew.
I see it, and it's really cool to see. And
thank you. I knew you needed quiet, space, and no talking. I knew from my prior experience of depression and being around those who are depressed, going through trials, I knew what some of the things that you needed, and I knew that it was a quiet time to just be held, to be heard, or to just look at the sky and say nothing. I also knew it was a time for us to eat better, because I know how the important role food plays on your emotions. Mm-hmm. So we took that into accountability, and I knew we needed time together to pray. And there were no disruptions. We were quiet. I made sure there was quiet around us. I didn't bring any distractions around you. And I talked to you about shutting down negative conversations on the internet, and you had already come up with that on your own, realizing you already knew what wasn't helping you get better. So you had already started or thought about it, and just getting back to you. A lot of this happens when we lose ourselves and we don't stay connected with ourselves, and you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And you also got into trying to help others with their issues, and you were around so many issues, and it overwhelmed you, and you just took on a lot that the human body just shouldn't be taking on. So we did our quiet time. We did our time together. And when you were ready, each day I saw it lifting. I saw you coming forward, wanting to get out and feeling better. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I wasn't sure if it would happen. But I was hopeful.
Yeah. While, because you did research, I remember, when we found out what it was that was bothering me. And I'm curious, in the midst of, like, doing that research and, like, learning more, did you find out more also about, like, yourself and, like, your depression as well?
Oh, yes. I understood not so much. Yes, I did. I understood how I became depressed. I understood what was around me or what people were causing that. I did not know. I understood more now, again, self-care, protecting myself, making sure that I matter daily, not leaving myself out of the loop. But yes, I did. I learned about being around toxic people, family, friends, other people who may have a mental illness or depression or any of the signs, and being careful to not just put myself around people who are not feeling well, balancing my life. I learned more than I expected.
So, something that you've shared with me and that I've also noticed is, because some people don't realize that it's not always chemical imbalances that bring on disorders and illnesses, it's life experiences too. And for you, your experience right now in life is you're in a house filled with anxious people. And you sometimes take that on, and you've shared with me that you have anxiety now sometimes, and how it's kind of just like spread in a way to you. How do you check in with yourself and set up, like, we've talked about how you, while taking care of us, you found the importance in also needing to take care of yourself as the caretaker.
I can catch it early now. Mm-hmm. And part of getting back into the self-care was as you've seen me, I got back into the things I enjoy doing, the projects that were on hold, projects I wanted to start. And you saw me getting back to things that brought me peace and joy that I had neglected. And so with that being said, is that's a part of me every day now. And I retreat to those things. And it lets everybody know they've got the signal that, okay, you guys are taking me to a place that you need to manage now. It's not for you to drip onto me. And that's been the flow now. I catch it early, and I no longer let it take hold anymore. And that's why you've caught me. You've caught me. I mean, anywhere from you walk in the room, I've got music going more often now. My music. Taking a walk or getting out by myself. I go, you know, worse. Anything that brings me joy and peace that keeps my flow flowing. And my projects in my office online, and continuing to help people, it brings me my foundation, caring about others so that I don't become so self-absorbed and distant and draw back.
What have you learned from your experience as a parent of someone with a mental disorder?
I've learned that the signs of isolation that were not obvious that I see now. How can I put this? The signs of isolation that were not obvious. Everything looked fine. You were still smiling and flowing, like I told you. And everything looked fine from the outside. And so now I'm able to understand that there's more for me to do than just look for the outside. And we're doing it. The second thing is I've learned that being educated gave me the understanding that I needed for this. But before anything, I arrived at this already as a praying mother. So I immediately went to prayer because I believe in the healing power of Jesus. Praying gave me the foundation I needed to start this new situation in our lives. I thought about what you went through while you were surviving this alone, before I knew. I thought about how you still laughed, loved, you kept moving forward and living. I was so proud of you. You researched, you did your homework to educate yourself. By the time you had told me, you educated me. You spoke with others who suffered from the same. And then, after that, I had my cry alone. It was of hurt for you and the gratitude that Jesus kept you this far. And then I went online and started educating myself.
Awesome. I remember there was a moment. This shows how much that you were really educating yourself and being proactive with the whole situation. It was when I was in California still and you were here. This moment really stands out to me because it was a moment that felt like a breakthrough. It was in the process of us moving out here, and we were on the phone, and you had told me, I think I know what you have. And I was already piecing it together. I had been piecing it together slightly for years, wasn't sure. So you had sent me, I think, a screenshot or sent me something, and it was on OCD. And there was, I don't know what it was, but it was this feeling of someone knows. Someone agrees and someone gets it. And that felt very, it was a breakthrough and it felt nice to be understood. And I don't know, it was a really nice moment. And it really, it showed how much you were educating yourself and being a part of it. And just, yeah, it just, it was, I, for me, like, I really like being understood. So, like, that was a moment that really mattered a lot to me, was the fact that, yay, someone understands, someone's getting it. Even if I wasn't too sure yet, we both weren't sure. Yeah. It was just the fact that, hey, you know, it was one of those I'm not alone moments. And it was really cool. And
yeah, I backtracked, as any parent does. You feel responsible no matter what. As a parent, I, from my perspective, as a parent, you're always going to feel guilty about something, even if the ride and the upbringing was smooth, even if there were no problems, which is not true. But as a parent, you have guilt somewhere, somehow down the road. It's like they go hand in hand. And we take on so much personally as a parent. And I remember thinking back to, what did I do? How did I contribute to this? What did I not do? And that overtook me. And that sat with me, and I had to get over that real quick if we were going to keep on moving forward. Whatever was taking you down, I could have let it take me down. And we would have been no use to each other.
Yeah. So, I'm going to ask one final question before I let you share anything else that you'd like to share. What advice would you give to someone dealing with similar situations, people that are in our shoes, where there's a parent and there's a child and that child has a mental health condition, or they both deal with a mental health condition? What advice would you give?
To the child, when you think you can do this on your own and you're feeling embarrassed, and you're thinking you don't want to burden anyone, that you do not want to burden anyone, these things are not going to help you feel better. Talk to your family. Do not isolate yourself. Educate yourself. We have everything at our disposal in the privacy of our rooms now. Full education, be it phone, computer. There's counseling, there's assistance at home online or in person, and know that you can and you will feel much better with a circle of support, because this support system will help you. To the parent, you must know that your countless years as a parent, while you were nurturing, encouraging, planning, and loving, as well as many other things, have built a strong, healthy foundation for your son or daughter. This allows them the resilience that we think they don't have. Believe in your ability as a parent, the many years of experience, and that will enable you to carry on. Again, as a parent, don't isolate yourself. Educate yourself as well. Talk to someone, a support group where you feel you're getting support, but reach out. Do not try to take this on by yourself and think that you can.
Very wonderful points. From a very wise woman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Is there anything I have not asked you? Anything that you'd like to talk about? I am willing to listen because I love hearing you. Proceed. If there's anything.
This alone needs to be why we have self-care more than ever. Mm-hmm. Why we take care of ourselves and do things that bring us joy. That we surround ourselves with people that bring us joy. This alone needs to help us take better care of ourselves on a daily basis. From what we eat, to getting rest, to our happiness. And to not overfill our plate, to understand at the end of the day how to shut down. And that is it. And help your child incorporate self-care. We did a lot of that. And some of the things I mentioned, you said, yeah, I've always wanted to do that. It's been on my to-do list. And you started incorporating it. You started smiling more. You started feeling good about yourself because it was something you always wanted to do for you that made you feel better or was healthier for you. And so I remember that. Keep communication open. Do not take this personal. Do not feel that you, as a parent, don't take it personal. Don't feel that you did anything, because now you're operating from an empty place that is of no use to you or your child. Keep the original flow of your daily life as simple as possible. This sends a reassurance message to your kid, your child, that I know you can do this.
I like that you mentioned that, to interrupt you really quick, because there were so many times where you had to tell me, like, to do just basic stuff that I didn't have the energy or the interest in doing. Like, there were, like, my depression was so bad that, you know, I didn't want to get up and shower. You know, it was, you were telling me, hey, you still got to do this. You know, you still got to take care of yourself. And I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing awareness to a much needed community of people that could use more help, could use more word, getting the word out. And you opened the door. I had no idea it was so common or so big with students. And students already need help, need all the support they can get through school. This doesn't help.
Yeah.
School life nowadays, struggling with finances and getting through school and peer pressures at its worst in all my life I've ever seen. And so this doesn't help. There needs to be a strong community on the school grounds, strong resources, available resources that work, that are getting results. This is also the cause of a lot of suicide on and off the campus. And it hurts. It's near and dear to my heart as a mother. And anything that brings awareness and gets people talking is a great thing, and I thank you for that.
My pleasure. Thank you. You had mentioned the suicide side to it. That reminds me, I went to something that was really insightful a couple days ago. It was called, what was it called? Send the Silence Packing, or Pack, something like that. And it was just a lawn, like the lawn out at the school, a bunch of backpacks out. And those backpacks represented people who had committed suicide. And there were letters attached to some of the backpacks. And so many of these letters said that this person seemed happy. This person seemed okay. I had no idea. I don't know what I could have done. And it really just amplifies the fact that we just need to keep talking about this and making it more easier for people to talk about this. That way we don't have to, like, you know, it's just the fact that these people weren't comfortable enough to talk. They probably felt really alone. And then also, I don't want people feeling bad either, saying, what could I have done? You didn't know. I just feel like we just really need to spread the message of talking about it more.
I think we need to, personally, this is my view, we need to stop looking at the outer appearance and thinking there is no face to this. There needs to be as a people, we need to be more compassionate and caring of each other. We need to be kinder to each other every day. We need to smile more at each other. We need to give those we come in contact with in our personal lives more hugs. We need to check in more with each other. We need to celebrate each other better. We need to do better with our hearts, with compassion, making each other feel comfortable in a safe environment where if they're not feeling well, they have several people they can go to. It shouldn't be this way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it may not happen, but I do know a lot of people that were feeling very isolated and unloved before this happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not your fault for what you don't know, but once you know better, you are to do better.
Yeah.
And joking around, laughing with each other is not fine during the day, but getting more in touch with each other inside, embracing each other more, just being kinder to each other. And doing that on a daily basis, coming in contact with people in general, it sure can't hurt.
Yeah. There's a saying that I've heard a couple times, check on your strongest friend, because there's a chance that they're really hiding some stuff that they're just not talking about. So yeah, we need to talk about it more and take that time to connect with others. So yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely.
If you or someone else is dealing with a mental health condition, there is help. For those at the University of Arizona, call Counseling and Psych Services, otherwise known as CAPS, at 520-621-3334. For those in Pima County, you can reach the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Arizona, at 520-622-5582. For those outside of Arizona, you can text HOME to the Crisis Text Line at 741-741. You can call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration National Helpline at 1-800-662-4357. And you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. Please be kind to yourself. There is help. Thank you.
I want to end with positivity because hope is real and it's there. Do you, mother, have a mental health myth that you'd like to debunk or a quote or thought you'd like to share?
As far as?
Mental health.
It's more common today. It can happen at any time, for any reason. When I was growing up, it wasn't this common in school, and it was based on usually someone was born that way or born into it. And now I'm seeing all walks of life, all age groups pick it up at any time in their life.
Yeah.
Did I answer you?
Yeah. Yeah. That was definitely, you debunked a myth. That, you know, basically all ages, all people can get it. So that's definitely true.
And it's also not based on any hardships either. Mm-hmm. That used to be everyone, yeah, that's no. for instance, you were doing everything you dreamed of doing. You were in a place of that you worked hard to get to. You were happy. You were doing exactly what you set out to do from the age of five. And you were living the life that people admired and that some couldn't finish, but you were still there in college and at home, and you had your friends, you went out, you were driving, and you were happy. You were still happy. It was almost scary that you were living this way, and I saw you every day. But I think because you weren't talking about it and we didn't know about it, you worked harder at hiding it. Because now you don't work at all at hiding it. And I notice now that you don't have to work at hiding it, it's less. Mm-hmm. The anxiety, the ad alone brought its own anxiety. And that's my opinion. That's what I observed.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I definitely agree. So I do have a myth that kind of bounces back from what you said. There's this myth that people with mental health conditions aren't capable, just in general, aren't capable of just achieving or doing. And I want to debunk that myth. You know, you've dealt with your depression and you've achieved so much. You've had your career and you've studied biblical studies and you've parented and raised, and, you know, so you're an example of someone who is capable.
Thank you.
So,
but I have found through friends and family, those that suffer from any type of mental illness, from bipolar to PTSD to anxiety and to, I think that was it. I've noticed, and I've read, those are very high achieving people. And a lot of people with anxieties are in the corporate world. They can run major corporations, mm-hmm. but their personal life is where the struggle is, their home life. And I've witnessed that with a family member just recently in my personal life. And they're very high achievers. They're very ambitious, hardworking, smart people. There's no learning disability. For instance, you know, once again, let's use you as the platform. Where you're at right now, you went back with your anxiety and you decided, I'm going to do this with this, but I'm going to do it. That drive was still in you, and you accomplished that this year. You accomplished a 24-month program in 12 months. And my sister was an executive assistant in a major corporation and going to night school. And my neighbor, my friend of so many years, she did very well in the workplace, but once she got home, that's when all her anxieties took hold. It's very common in the workplace, in managerial positions. I'm reading and learning, finding out firsthand, and someone close to me that has retired is now dealing with it more than ever.
Yep.
Because there's not that space anymore. There's not that space that's taken up anymore. For some reason, they're really trying to manage it now. They managed it better when they had their career.
Yeah. This is true. So yeah. For anyone who feels that people with mental health conditions are worthless or useless, you are wrong. We are very capable. Thank you very much. So, and the quote, I have a quote. I don't know if I'm wording it correctly, but there's this quote that broken crayons can still color. And I'm not saying that with the idea that people with mental health conditions are broken. It's just if you feel broken, you know, just know there's more to your story. You are a crayon that can color, and there's just to, there, your story's not over yet. And you are very capable of doing what you want to do. So that is my positive quote. And I believe that is the end of the episode. So thank you so much for sharing and for being here, Mom.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who listened to this episode. And yeah, once again, Mom, thank you for your vulnerability, your willingness and knowledge, and also for your love and your friendship, and for being one of my rocks. Just thank you so much. And for dealing with the very negative aspect of this too, because I know I'm not easy to deal with. So thank you so much. And I love you very much.
I love you back. You're very welcome.
So make sure to check out mocktailsinthemind.wordpress.com for access to mocktail recipes featured in the episode, sources, resources, and yeah. So this has been Mocktails and the Mind. I'm Amber Wilkerson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember that mental health is just as important as physical health. There is help, and you are not alone. Stay awesome.